on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, get a turnover and get another score. That's the way I've lived my whole life. It's time to get a turnover and get another score. I just pray that you bear with me here a little bit this morning. I pulled an all-nighter like I used to do at Otterbein College, except I didn't have the beer that I used to have in there, right? You guys know what an all-nighter is? Be up all night? Yeah, of course you do. And go to class the next day. I feel a little bit like that. I sat and watched all that mess last night I went to bed about 3:30, I think it was, crawled in there for a couple hours and woke up pretty refreshed, really. And I don't know what the rest of you did. I watched Steve Bannon on the War Room. And I really have a kind of a different perspective. I'd like a little walk down memory lane. I want to try to take you on here this morning. Before I get too far, I wonder if you guys really, do you really, really know the miracle that was performed last night? Do you really know? And the miracle I'm talking about, but they will be writing in history for as long as they're writing history books about the political comeback of Donald John Trump. And what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? And I've been thinking that he has shown us something. Whether you like him or don't like him, that doesn't matter. He's shown us a tenacity that's really, really missing in Christianity. It's really, really missing in Christianity. And I was watching him last night when he was giving his victory speech up there, and you know, he's a politician. Come on, we all get it. And saw that remarkable family standing around him and all that stuff that he went through. And I began to reminisce. Do you guys remember at all what he has been through? From the day he took office, they were after him. Remember, it's supposed to be Hillary, right? And we could say whatever we want to. Republican Party, are you looking at me, folks? The Republican Party didn't want Donald Trump. They still didn't want Donald Trump. And I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, I said to you, there's a new coalition that's being built. It's a brand new coalition. The establishment Republicans, they basically got kicked to the door. Let me show you an illustration if I can do this. I'm gonna try using my hands here, okay? So as the government, as the American culture and American society move left, this is my left. I don't know what it looks like to you. As they move left, the American church and the American right move left with them. And when the American church, so the government moved left, and the American church says, "Okay, we're coming here. No further. You're not moving any further than this." And then they moved a little bit further. Say, "We're going to kill babies." And the church says, "Okay." And the church moved a little bit. Okay, but you're not going to go there. Oh yeah, we're going to cut off the penises of little boys and little girls. Okay, we're not going to let you go any further than that. And for who knows how long, the compromise from the American church has been unbelievable. And so I was thinking last night as I was kind of reminiscing through this stuff, Bible says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." But I want you to understand this. There's a big difference between vengeance and justice. They're not the same thing, folks. The Lord loves justice and judgment. He loves justice and judgment. And what I'm wondering about is we sit here and really with a miracle. It was a miracle that happened. What do we do now? Where do we go from here? And I think that's really a real tough question we all need to really begin to ask ourselves, because I'm going to tell you this. This could be the American church's finest hour. We know this.
Amen.
We know this, that Donald Trump knows. Whether Donald Trump's a Christian or not, I'm going to say this. I think he's as Christian as 80% of the people who go to church. When anybody want to disagree?
Amen, with Coach.
Amen.
He may not be one of us, but he's as Christian as most people go to church. And what are we going to do with this? How are we going to move forward from a Christian perspective from here? I want to pull something up for you real quick. Spencer, if you could, pull up. My wife and I were just having J6ers are going to get out now, folks. God is so merciful. Michelle and I were sitting up there, and she said, boy, we got mercy last night. We got mercy. And then what the scripture says, in your wrath, remember mercy. And I got thinking, Lord, what is mercy? So, Spencer, what is mercy? Hey, folks, did the American church, did we deserve that reprieve? Did we deserve that? You say, Coach, what kind of reprieve? Do you have any idea the reign of terror from Merrick Garland and his crew had they gotten another term? Do you have any idea? Folks, I'm asking, do you have any idea? We don't have any idea what we've been saved from. So Michelle said, mercy. There's God's mercy. And what is mercy? That benevolence, mildness, or tenderness of heart which disposes a person to overlook injuries. Wow. Only a merciful heart of God could overlook those injuries that we did to him and to his name. Talking about his church. The things that we've allowed to happen, the things that we've put up with, our cowardice and our hiding, he overlooked those personal injuries. Or to treat an offender better than he deserves. Wow. We didn't deserve mercy. It's the disposition that tempers justice. And it induces an injured person to forgive trespasses and injuries. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Forgive us this day, our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. And it induces an injured person to forgive trespasses and injuries and to forbear punishment or inflict less than law or justice will warrant. In this sense, there's perhaps no word in our language precisely synonymous with mercy. That which comes nearest to it is grace. Grace. It implies benevolence, tenderness, mildness, pity or compassion, clemency, but exercised only towards offenders. You understand we are offenders? You understand that it's the grace of God that drives us to repentance, and it's repentance that saves us. Mercy is a distinguishing attribute of the supreme being. Oh, Lord, that we did not get what we deserved. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty. An act or exercise of mercy or favor. It is mercy that they escaped. It was merciful. I'm not worthy of the least of all thy mercies. Pity, compassion manifested towards a person in distress or a nation in distress. That'd be us, wouldn't it? And he said, he that showed mercy on him, clemency and bounty. So then what's the difference? I said, well, what's grace? What's grace? We would like to throw that word around too. Grace is Latin. And it's favor, goodwill, kindness, disposition to oblige another, as a grant made as an act of grace. Appropriately, the free, unmerited love and favor of God. The spring and source, scroll down, Spence, I can't see it. The spring and source of all the benefits that men receive from him. Wow. Now look. Where sin abound, grace did much more abound. Hell's about to break loose. Hell's about to break loose, boys and girls.
Amen.
Now, what we're going to have to make the decision on, as we go through this hell that's, as we have to put on our flak jackets and go through the hell that's in front of us, we have to ask ourselves, are we going to take this flak that we're about to get, and are we just going to take it and roll over, or are we going to stand and push back and eliminate it for the sake of our children and our grandchildren? And I want you to know this. God gave us Donald Trump because the average Christian man wouldn't do what has to be done. Wouldn't do it.
Amen.
Boom. Oh.
And I don't know about you guys. Remember the principal in the high school? I remember the principal we had. I scared her because he'd take guys out in the hall and he'd whack them and you'd hear it echo down the hallway. And he retired. And that was one of the happiest days of our lives because I never got any whacks. I don't know how I avoided them. But one of my buddies did. And the guy came in, he wasn't a whacker. He wasn't a whacker. We're about to get whacked. And we deserve it. Think of the J6ers. Some of the guys been in jail how long? 4 years. They're going to get out. No. We have to make sure they get out.
Amen.
Redouble our efforts. See, we just won, right? We have to go clean up a mess. And it's not going to be easy. There's going to be rattlesnakes. There's going to be dead opossums. There's going to be all kinds of stuff out there. But now we are obligated to do what? To advance his kingdom. Folks, do you have any idea? Any idea? The forces against what happened last night. Do you have any idea? The forces. The Republican Party hates Donald Trump. Republican establishment hate Donald Trump. They hate him. They're not for him. And it was last week I told you there's a new party, a MAGA party, is a combination of people that have never come together. And I don't know if you saw this. Men did not. Didn't I write that 2 weeks ago? Ain't no way a man's going to turn out. And they kept asking, where is the male vote? Where are the black men? They weren't going to turn out. They weren't going to do it. They weren't going to vote for her. They weren't going to vote for her. So I think it's time we, number one, make masculinity great again. Huh? Let's make masculinity great again. I got something I want to show you. I'm going to open it up because I know you guys got 1,000 things you want to talk about too. I have an email from Cal Zaster. You guys know who Cal is. Some of you do. Some of
that
you don't.
Was awesome.
Huh? Unbelievable. Where Cal's report, pull that up for me. His daughter sent this to me. Cal is in prison. Hey, Dale, can you see that? Can you see this, Cal?
I got it too, Coach. I got it. It's awesome. The baptisms, the salvations.
So this is from Eva, his daughter, who also was found guilty, didn't have to serve jail time. Lord, help me be like this. Sunday night, November 3rd, Thompson Federal Prison. This is from Cal's Astro. I was lost. Jesus Christ saved me. Shane Jay said, had a rough start here. I've been in the SHU, which is a discipline spell, very rough, twice this year for drugs. But God saved me. I feel free inside this fence. I want to be a holy man, said Seth. I've given my life over fully to Jesus Christ. I've committed to a life of discipleship, Donald S. Cal's saving souls in prison. Andrew Kay said, this is the most exciting thing I've ever done. Joshua says, after 32 years of drug use, I've been clean for 1 month. I'm washing away my old life and beginning anew. Michael G says, thank you, Jesus. Frank A said, let go of your past and let God take over your life. Follow him only. Mario says, in 2019, I got baptized to try to avoid prison, but God isn't a bargaining God. Now it's real. I've been running from God for a long time. I'm running towards him now. Jose, I've lost a lot of years. I've learned about Jesus. Now I follow Jesus. Emmanuel says, I give my life to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Another Jose says, this is the best moment of my life. You are my brothers. I'm saved, Nick W. yelled. Scott said, I wasn't arrested. I was rescued. Now I got saved by Jesus. 18 men got baptized in water in our prison tonight. Over 100 guys were in chapel. It's from Cal. Thanks for praying for me and for my fellow prisoners. The big revival is coming. Worthy is the Lamb of God. More, Lord, more. Laboring for souls, Cal. Pretty humbling, isn't it? See, that's a man after God's own heart. Persecution's good for you. Wow. You know, I want to, you'll never convince me that the prayers didn't matter. You'll never convince me that God didn't move on behalf of the sons of disobedience. You'll never convince me. And I'm also more convinced now that the greatest revival the world has ever seen is in front of us if the church will react properly. We saw a miracle. They tried all night long to not declare him the winner. They still won't call three of the states, which he's clearly won. Judd, come on in. Judd. Brett, somebody.
Hey, consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, the testing, the trials, the persecution, because the testing of your faith develops perseverance. I'm Amen. So thankful. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Buckle up, get the ankles taped, stretched, put that full helmet of salvation on and the full body armor, because now it is time to get to work. Local action, kingdom impact. I love Amen. You, Coach. I love this team.
Amen. Hey, folks, you don't have to believe it.
Coach, sorry, my button was pushed.
That's all right. This group has had more impact than we will ever know this side of heaven. Go ahead, Judd.
Sorry. Thank you for everybody on this call. Thank you for warriors standing in Christ. Some people just don't understand the full details, but we witnessed a miracle, an absolute miracle.
He had everything against him for how long, Judd? How long was everything against that guy?
Boom. Amen, Judah.
Now, the question we have to ask ourselves is he a righteous man? We don't know this, right? We know this, that the heart of the king is as water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. And I'm going to tell you this. Donald J. Trump did what Franklin Graham could never have done.
Amen, Coach.
Benny Strahan, whatever the heck his name is.
Amen.
Or Joel Osteen.
And, Coach, what you got to realize here is that this team, what you have done, the spines of men has stiffened.
Amen.
What you have done with your ministry is so much greater than so many other churches that have been out there, because you stood in Christ Jesus when you were persecuted. And just this ragtag army, these guys, you guys have no idea of the works where Brett's feet have gone, where they've moved, the connections that God has put in place. The secret, this just the it's been revealed.
Amen.
And the graciousness, this coaching tree, people have no idea.
Amen,
the divine
baby.
Things that are coming toward it and its future. It is absolutely just remarkable. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Praise Jesus. Praise
Amen. Christ. You know, Jed, you know why that is? Because the Bible says, whatever he says unto you, do it. And we haven't been. We haven't been. And I Craig Mickle was staking yesterday in D.C. Maybe we'll get a chance to talk about that here in a second. Relentless, never giving up and never giving in. 11 nights of prayer. Laugh if you want to. Did Dad have any? Folks, do you understand the forces against him? Do you understand? Anybody watch Fox News last night? They weren't for him. Fox wanted him to lose. Come on. They wanted him to lose. They wouldn't declare him winner till they had to. All those forces against him. And dare I say it? He wasn't righteous enough for some of y'all.
Boom.
Amen. Amen.
Go ahead, Mary Beth. John Loveland, go ahead. Mary Beth, you're muted.
Thanks, Coach. Hey, I put it in the chat. James 2:13 says, mercy triumphs over judgment.
That's right, brother.
And I don't think anybody would disagree that, you know, God's mercy, we deserve God's judgment, and he gave us mercy.
Gave
and you know what, Coach? You started the show with what do we do now? And you know what? I think everybody knows the church is the problem. Paul Washer, who's probably the most fundamental preacher that has a platform, a very large platform. I don't agree with everything he says, but he was asked a question. He said, what do you think the biggest problem is in the church today? And he didn't hesitate. He said, it's the pastors.
It is.
So you said, Coach, what do we do now? I think what we need to do, Coach, is we need to set up a prayer time every week to pray for the church, because Jesus, God and the Holy Spirit haven't given up on the church. And it, you know, what is the church? You know, your organization is the church. It's a remnant. But the institutional church, I don't believe God has given up on it. And people need to be woken up. And I think it's, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about what the church isn't doing, but how much time do we spend praying for the church?
Yeah, that's right.
Because he said he's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle.
That's what he said.
The church has a lot of spots and a lot of wrinkles.
A lot of wrinkles. Amen. Come out from among them, be separate, and touch not the unclean thing. There's supposed to be something very unique about believers. Supposed to be. And I'm going to tell you something. There are real ones. Oh, yeah. There's something unique about Randy. Anybody want to disagree with that? Something unique about that boy. Hey, Roger, come on in. Now, hang on. Mary Beth, because she tried to get in. Mary Beth.
Yeah, I'm trying to work.
There you go. Go.
I'm trying to work on this new laptop thingy, and I'm having
just go. Trouble. Just go.
So
just go.
I think we need to pray about. I'm sorry, but I'm sick. I think we need to pray continually about what happens before the inauguration and this wicked administration. And I'm really looking forward to that concession speech also.
Yeah. You're not going to get one. By the way, we still got 2 months before he comes into office. And I think it's probably wise that maybe we do continue praying, because I'm telling you, all hell's about to break loose.
Amen, Roger. Coach. Oh, I so much to say, so little time. I need my own program. But I, first of all, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for my family. I thank you, Father, for my grandchildren. I thank you, Father, for all those in the queue here that have been praying. We are just grateful, and we pray that you give this man wisdom. Last night, you know, the pontification brought out an interesting thing. I think it's going to be revealed even more, Dave, and the rest of you, is that the evangelical church did not show up.
Did not show up again.
Yeah, their numbers were way down. And one of the guys was speaking, or gals, and was talking about they may not have the influence at the table that they think they deserve, but the numbers are showing they did not show up. They didn't vote for Camellia necessarily.
Yeah.
They didn't show up. The numbers were down. They just didn't show up. So we keep that in mind, and just thankful. Lord, thank you. That's all I've got.
Amen. So, you know, Steve Bannon said last night, he kept saying, and it was really, really good. He went to jail, by the way. Steve Bannon kept saying it over and over and over. Folks, where are the 20 million votes? Where are the 20 million votes? He kept saying. What does he mean? The 20 million votes that came up out of nowhere 4 years ago. Where are those 20 million votes? They weren't votes. They weren't votes. They weren't voters. And luckily, here they were doing a better job of being prepared for this steal than what any of us realized was going on. Right? Thank God those people were working. Where are those 20 million votes? What were the totals last night, Spence? Can you find it real quick? I don't know if you can. What, 68 million, I think, maybe Trump got last night. 68 million. And Kamala got like 62 million. Last time, Trump had 90 million. 90 million. There it is. How many did he get? 60, right up, does it say? 71 million. 71 million. How many did Harris get? 66 million. Where are the other 20 million? Where are the 30 million that Biden had? He didn't have them. They were made up. They're all made up. And why didn't the Republican Party fight that back then? Because they didn't want Trump to win. Do you get it? Do you get it? They didn't want him to win. Dale.
A couple points here, Coach. We've been saying this, all right? Now, Trump won, but they're still in power. What are we going to do? I used to have a track in the back of my church that said, saved, not won. Now that we won, won. Now what? And the church needs to rise up. You look at that. You look at Exodus 3:16, 3:18, and 4:29. The elders were supposed to go, and they didn't. It's time for us to go. When David slew Goliath in 1 Samuel 17, and he arose and he lifted up the head of Goliath, it said the Israelites and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the valley and to the gates of Ekron. Coach, I'm going to say it is not a time to be nice. This is not a time for Trump to be nice.
That's right. Dale, what is the punishment in the Constitution for treason? Do you know?
Hanging.
Folks,
I'm just telling you, Coach.
You understand how many men are in jail? Their lives have been ruined over lies. Huh? Let justice roll down like a mighty river. That's what I say. Let justice roll down. Amen. I hope they find Jesus and we grant them mercy. But there's some restitution to be made, baby. They destroyed a lot of lives. Merrick Garland, huh? Woo-wee, baby.
Huh? God rest the souls of the ones that didn't make it, though.
That's right. I'm telling you, man. It's been COVID, you understand? Yeah, COVID was designed to steal the election. Jeff Klein. Go ahead, Jeff.
Coach, you talked to Alan Zeifer last night. And, you know, we've been busy lately, but now it's time to get busier, like you said. Everything last night, I'm going to letter that sign out front, calling out the pastors and the churches to come out of the closet right out in front of the car lot. Yeah. We're going to the square Saturday again, and we're going to start. We're just going to go right away.
You got to build a coalition on this, folks.
I told Alan last night, I said, here's what we got to do. We talk about being divided and need unity. This like thought come to me last night as they're running their mouths. I listen to Newsmax. The blacks and the Hispanics. Thank you, people.
They got more sense than the average Christian guy, don't they?
Yep. So we need to reach out to them and coalition with them. You know what I mean? So listen, we're not against you. We're for you. I'm going to be in the county commissioner meetings right away. And also, I got an invite for next Tuesday night. Some big patriot group, some conservative group. They want me to come over and speak. They said they'd give me 20 minutes to address the crowd. They want to hear the story about Pastor Bill.
And it's time for us all to be evangelists, folks.
So let's go.
Let's go get him. Adam.
Hey, good morning, Coach. I think we need to pray now, not only for the safety of Trump and for J.D. Vance and for everybody in his cabinet, but we also need to pray that Trump is able to use his authority as president to expose all these people so that they can actually be the ones prosecuted.
Amen.
They broke the law.
Did you guys watch him? Thanks, Adam. Did you guys watch Trump's interview with Joe Rogan? And you know what he said? And I, by the way, I said the same thing. When I went to London High School's football coach, I got the same staff that was there. I came in as the head coach, and all the assistant coaches were in place, and they all sold me out. All of them did. And then the next year, I got rid of them, brought my own coaches in. And then in Joe Rogan's interview, did you hear what Trump said? I had bad players. I had bad people around me. I didn't know. I didn't know who anybody was. And the swamp came and got me. Because why? Those guys in Washington, D.C., our elected officials, are there for themselves. They're not there for you, baby. They're not there for you. Carrie Lake, she's still, they quit counting. She's behind, but they quit counting. Somebody explain to me how Trump can win Arizona and Carrie Lake not win. Come on, Kevin Van Story.
Well, we did get a reprieve in the form of getting President Trump, but here in Missouri we have a constitutional amendment that allows the murder of babies up to the day of birth.
Unbelievable.
And you know, I just checked the numbers. There were 2.9 million people vote for 2,935,000. Vote for Donald Trump, and there were 2,918,000 vote to kill babies up until the day of the birth.
Yeah, that's a failure of the church, Kevin.
And I checked my county. I checked Jasper County. Jasper County or Newton County went right along with President Trump. 80% said no to Amendment 3. Jasper County, 72% said no. So it's the big towns that put this through. So, but now we got. Not only do we get to murder babies until the arm or the head starts coming out, but we also get to do transgender operations on children without parent notification. How freaking stupid is this?
Amen. Where's the church? Where's the church? Hey, they stayed home. They stayed home. Oh, I could go somewhere. I won't go there. Jeff Nell.
Hey, good morning, Coach. I caught you right about now, got up and stuff. President Trump, I saw he's giving his winning speech right now. I like to comment on some people who claim to know Jesus Christ. They have very little clue on what to do. Pray is one thing, but action is minimized. And they're not expressing and revealing Jesus Christ as much as they should. And it's frustrating.
They don't know how. They haven't been taught at all in church. To expand that, they don't know how to do it. They don't know how to do it. By the way, I'm looking right up on top of the screen in front of you. You guys can see it. Donald Trump got 51.9%. Yeah, click on Arizona. Click on Arizona. You don't have to click on. There it is. He's up what? He's up 100,000 votes. Why won't they declare him winner? How about Nevada? He's up. 51, he's up 5 percentage points. Why won't they declare him winner?
It's because of John.
How about, let's go, come on, while I'm on a roll. What about Michigan? Why won't they declare him a winner? Is he up Michigan?
John McCain's network.
Bitter clingers.
He's up 100,000 votes in Michigan. Why won't they declare him a winner? What about Alaska? He's up 15 points. Because, see, they want to play it out as long as they can. Make it look like he didn't really win. Scumbags. Gary Pierce. Go on, Gary.
Boy, the four networks, the deceit of those four networks.
Oh, my goodness.
Were really on display last night. I was watching a Christian network that was YouTubers that were using the New York Times as their source of calling the election. That source was 2 hours ahead of all four major networks. 2 hours ahead, and their results were 100% accurate.
Isn't that something?
Rest my case.
Amen. And you know what else? One of those guys on Lawrence O'Donnell. You guys know who Lawrence O'Donnell is? He went on a rant. I should have had this ready for you. He went on a rant that the problem in America is the Electoral College. We need to have a direct democracy. The guy with the most votes wins. Well, lo and behold, look at the vote totals. Trump, 71 million. Camel Toes, 66 million. Donald Trump won the popular vote, which they thought was impossible. He would never be able to do it. Can I tell you what's going on? There's an awakening going on, boys and girls. All the NASCAR crowd, they're alive and well, baby. They're alive and well. Don't think they're not. Craig Mickle. Thanks, Craig, for what you did yesterday. I don't know if you want to talk about it now or we'll talk about it tomorrow. Appreciate you, brother.
Whichever day, whichever you want to do. I'm actually going to be jumping off here in about 5 minutes, Coach. I'm at the Fellowship of Christian Athletes here, about 45 minutes from where I live. I'm boots on the ground making contacts about getting in front of kids about how to protect themselves on the internet and get a hold of their parents. So.
You're the man.
So if you want to talk about it, you need to talk about it now because I'm going to
do it. Do it, Craig. Tell us what you did yesterday. I got some pictures. Pull up those pictures. Spencer, it says, Craig, picks from yesterday. Just scroll through them. And then Craig can tell us what they are.
So basically what we did is, the media is heavily in Washington, D.C., and I think the Lord's positioned me around the proximity of that to go take down some of these strongholds as far as at least claim his name.
That'd be a good place to start. CNN, go ahead.
So basically the media decrees, I was privileged to kind of initiate them over the Chicago DNC. And
look at that, folks.
When a Blue Angels jet flew over me when I made the first decree that Jesus Christ is, king over the nation and airwaves, I knew that those decrees were anointed, but he gave Randy that. So anyways, I kind of been dragging my feet. It's been 3 months. I had a blood clot, and I looked at my wife. I said, man, I got to get down there before this election, and we got to finish what we started there in Chicago. So we went to all the media outlets, and we placed stones on them. We had scripture verses that I asked the Lord I should put on them, and we went and we did about six of them, all the mainstream media. We prayed over
them. Those stones, folks. That's how you do it. There's the stones that you lay. Oh, my goodness, Craig. You're the man.
So I think basically, the Lord's going to have to make them report on things that they don't want to report on. That it can't be hidden anymore. They can't avoid not talking about it because it will expose them. So that's why I think they were late to the game, but they had to report it because there was no other way out. And I believe that's going to be happening about this Pete Diddy thing and all kinds of stuff.
So
Lord's moving.
Coming down, man. I'm telling you. It's coming down. We're gonna be shocked. We're gonna be shocked whose foot gets caught in that thing. I can tell you that. Good work, Craig. Your wife. God bless you, man. Jack, come on in.
Yeah, Coach, I think we need to think about the terms we're using a little bit. I don't think we won anything. We were granted a stay of execution.
I'd say that's perfect. Said, perfectly said, yes.
Okay. We've seen this before. Don't go to sleep. Now is the time to charge. Now is the time to attack. Now is the time to train up the next president. And one of the things we have to consider is we're talking about the power of the president. Trump can do this. The president only has 11 official functions. The rest of it is up to us. And if we don't do it, it's going to go right back to where we were.
And Jack, we got to know this. He ain't got much of a team around him. The Republicans are not on his team. Folks, do you understand that? Mitch McConnell, he ain't on his team. Those guys are not on his team. Paul Ryan from Wisconsin, Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan is a rhino running Fox News. They're not on our side. They're not on our side. That's part of the game that's been going on. The sooner we understand that, the less we're going to sit back and think, oh, Sean Hannity's going to save us. Oh, Bill O'Reilly, he'll save us. Huh? Oh, yeah, the five, they'll say, come on, come on. These are specific duties the Lord gave to the church to do. Why is this so hard for us to get? Oh, my goodness. Thank you for the stay of execution. Gene Schroeder, come on in, Gene.
I'm sorry. I forgot what I was going to. We went so far, I forgot what I was going to bring in.
That's all right, brother, huh? Victory, baby. Victory.
Well, one thing. Okay, I remember now. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Anyway, you know, look at the number of ballots that was cast this last night. You know, there were so many more ballots in 2020. Then in 2022, what happened to those ballots?
That's what Steve Bannon kept saying, right? Oh, yeah. They weren't able to sneak those ballots in.
That's right. I missed that part, I guess. Okay.
Yeah, they weren't able to sneak them in. He kept asking over and over, "Where are they? Where are those 20 million ballots? Where are those people? Where are they?" Yeah. So now we know they did, in fact, cheat 4 years ago. We know they did. And that's what January 6th was about. And that's why they threw all those guys in jail, because they didn't want us to see what really went on. Friends, there's some people that ought to be tried and hanged. Is anybody, or are we going to be Christians?
And amen.
Be Christians and forgive them? Oh, there but for the grace of God go I. Well, that's why I think one of the most merciful things about the death penalty is if somebody kills, heaven forbid, someone I love, they can receive forgiveness, but they got a debt to pay, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. So if somebody kills, murders somebody, and then comes to Jesus, they must forfeit their life, and they can live eternally with Jesus. That's my stance on it. And see, we think now that mercy follows judgment, and it does. We think that if somebody gets saved, no, it's got to be restitution. Got to be. You got to make the guy well. And we don't even preach that stuff. Todd Henry, come on in. 40 lashes, 60 lashes. Then you're forgiven, brother. We forgive you. There's a price to pay. Come on in, Pastor Todd. Get on mute, bud. I know you're there, Todd. Jeff Klein, go while Todd figures it out. He's a slow learner. He's down around Thornville. It's his problem. Go ahead. Coach,
can you imagine how many churches will not allow the J6ers in their buildings once they get released?
Oh, my God. Jeff. Watch what I say here. Amen. I got a bunch of hands up. Are you guys still ready to talk? You want to talk? You still want to talk? Kevin Van Story, go ahead.
I forgot to take my hand down.
Yeah, I know you did. Jeff, no, your hand's still up. You want something to say?
Yeah, the Charlie Kirk.
Yeah,
he's on that system called Brainwash going to universities.
Yeah,
a lesbian came and asked a question, and Charlie could confirm that she, as a lesbian, can still be married. So he's saying it's okay to marry a tree, a rock, a dog, whatever. It just pisses me off. People claim to be Christians, and they don't understand that God hates the shedding of innocent blood.
So, Charlie is for gay marriage.
Yep.
Is that you're saying?
Yep. Sure do.
You can never make holy what God calls an abomination. Why is this so hard? Why is this so hard for us? Judah.
Yeah, Coach, this is going to be that period of time where we're going to see all these phony pastors jump on the Trump bandwagon. And they're going to be all, I was always for him. Oh, I'm always for the J6ers. No, you weren't. But you know what? What's hard? You know, there's that time of Thanksgiving or time of Christmas. The meal's about to happen. Everyone looks around the table and they go, well, who's going to pray? You know what? There's always someone who stands forward and does it. There's always that person who's like, you know, I'm going to put my neck out here and I'm going to do what no one else is willing to do. And it's also like the topic when, it's sad to say, but if a dog needs to be put down, everyone looks around, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
There's that dad power says, you know what, sometimes, you know, I remember my dad coming back up over around the corner, and I just knew he took care of what needed to be taken care of. And as a child, you look at that and you're like, oh, I, you know, there's people that now, as adults, we have to walk into maturity as Christians to be able to take out the garbage. And thank God Trump and the military and his team is there. But, you know, thank God there's people on this call who understand, you know what? There's more work to be done. There's more work to be done. And we pull these demons out by the roots. As we pull them out by the roots, man, there's going to be some gnashing of teeth.
So, Judd, we right now have a government in control in Washington, D.C., who's for the slaughter of unborn babies, who's for the mutilation of young kids. This is, folks, this is standard in Washington, D.C., right? Who's for sodomy. I could go on and on and on and on and on. Now, let me ask you something. Who's going to oppose that? Who is the only, what is the only force on earth put here to oppose that wickedness? Who?
The church.
The church.
Yeah, supposed to be.
The church is the folks, elected Republicans aren't going to oppose that. It's up to the church to push back against that. That's where the revival has to go. That's where we got to start poking our finger at the pulpit.
Oh, my gosh.
Come on out. Come on out, Ray. Come on in.
Yeah, I was wondering if anybody heard where George Clooney and De Niro and the rest of them, are they leaving the country now?
I hope so. Yeah, huh?
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yep. Think about that. Think about who we... Who we listen to, George Clooney, Whoopi, Taylor Swift. What the hell's wrong with us? Oh, LeBron. I'm telling you, we're sick. We're sick. Todd Henry, you trying to get in, Todd?
Yeah, Coach. Can we look at 2 Chronicles 23?
2 Chronicles 23. We're on it, man.
Verse 4. You know, I'm thinking the history of Israel, as most of you know, it was back and forth, good king, bad king, good king, bad king.
Yep.
And in this story, the king that comes to power is King Josiah, and he was preceded by two of the most wicked kings, Manasseh and Amon, before him, who set up all this wickedness throughout the land. And in this chapter, it shows us what King Josiah started doing. Verse 4, he was put into power. They made a covenant with God to return to the ways of God. But then it was followed by action. This massive purge of Israel had to occur.
Right.
And look at verse 4. It tells what he did. He called on Hilkiah and the religious leaders. And you just read a couple, two or three verses there. If I can transfer it over, if you'd like to read it.
No, I got it here. I'm going to start in verse 3. I'll start at verse 1. This is what, where is this, Todd?
2 Kings 23.
Yeah, I thought so. We got 2 Chronicles up. 2 Kings?
Yes.
2 Kings. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up to the house of the Lord. And all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem were with him. And the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which he found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar. He made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimonies, his statutes with all their heart, with all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. Should I go on, Todd?
Yes, now's where it comes in. This is the action. This is, yeah, keep going.
And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priests of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal. Wow. That's people. And for the grove and for all the hosts of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron. And he carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priests. And the king of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the city of Judah, the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun and to the moon and to the planets, to all the hosts of heaven, and the Halloweeners and Christmasers. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it into small powder, and cast the powder thereof and upon the graves. Wow. The children of the people, and he brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah. And he defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense from Geba to Beersheba, and break down the high places of the gates that were in the entering of the gates of Joshua and the governor of the city, which were on a man's left hand at the gate of the city. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places came not up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they did eat of the unleavened bread among their brethren. In other words, they still didn't get it. And he defiled Topheth, which is the valley of the children of the Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Moloch. He took away all the horses the kings of Judah had given to the son at the entering of the house of the Lord by the chamber of the Nathan-Melech, the chamberlain, which was in the suburbs, and he burned the chariots of the son with fire.
Yeah, what jumped out at me is King Josiah didn't do all that himself. Once he was instilled into office, he called on who? Hilkiah and the religious leaders. They helped him. There was a role to play for God's people in purging the land. You know, I don't know what that looks like for us today, but.
Amen, brother.
Anyway, right. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, brother. Got to get rid of that love gospel, don't we? Roger Weaver. Come on, Roger.
Dang, to you and the rest in the queue here, you know, the first go-round, there was always pictures of pastors around the guy.
Right. Yeah.
I think of Paula White. She was in every one of these pictures, laying hands, praying over him and so forth.
Yep.
And what is your thoughts? He had very little of that type of look this go-round. What does that tell us, if anything? Did he see through some of that?
Well, Roger, I think if you watch the interview he did with Rogan, he makes that statement that he put bad people. He didn't use the word bad, but he put the wrong people around him. Could that also include some of those spiritual leaders that were whispering something in his ear, you know? Who knows?
But Dave, maybe I missed it. I didn't see much of any spiritual connection around him publicly like that. And I'm just, you know, curious of other people's thoughts during the show or after, because it was, for me, it was noticeably absent this go-round, almost as if
that's true.
He viewed it more as a negative, or they were fake or hypocrites or whatever. And I think it may go back to his comments, you know, where is the church? Why is the church putting up with this around them? So I don't know.
Can I tell you this, Roger? Really, we have a holier-than-thou attitude towards him, right? Has he done some wicked stuff? Oh, yeah. You done some wicked stuff?
Yeah.
Huh? Have you done some? Yeah. Huh? We sure want grace, but we don't extend it very well, do we? See, as far as the east is from the west, I remember it no more as far as the east from the west. But boy, we sure love to remember, don't we? We sure love to remember. Paul Webb.
Hey, Coach. Good morning. A couple of things. You know, Donald Trump is kind of like, you know, when you coach high school football, you had that offensive lineman that would open up that big old hole. And if the running back decided he didn't want to run into that hole, go somewhere his own thing, what did you do? Bench him, right?
You were damn right. I turned Coach E loose on him. That's what I did. Yeah.
But I think that's what's happened here. I think the mainstream church has gotten benched. And what God is using is he's using ordinary, everyday people.
Dudes, that's us,
love the Lord, just like what we're doing. And I think that's where the church is. You know, the mainstream church that you see sitting up the, you know, they've been benched.
How could you love him and not defend him? It just baffles me. He died on a cross to forgive you of your sins, and you cower silently while all this stuff goes on. I'm just telling you, man. I don't know. Judah, come on in.
Actually, Coach, give me 5 minutes, and I'll comment on your guys' question because I want to do it when the show's over.
Okay, we'll do it. Mary Beth.
I say not only do we pray for Trump, we also write him letters of encouragement and because he can't know everything. And also, Coach, I just want you to know that I went out yesterday by myself with the help of the Lord, and I staked out many places.
Yeah.
I think that's why I got sick. Anyway, I'd like to
Amen. So listen. We have to all begin to build coalitions right where you are. If it's outside your church, it's outside your church. And I'm going to tell you something. You don't need the approval of your pastor. Now, you might if you're doing it in his church. But if a pastor comes against it, if you step forward to your pastor and you want to do something with the people in that church, he tells you no. Don't let the door hit you on the ass on the way out. That's what I said. He wants to do it. He wants to be in charge. Jeff Klein, go, man.
Coach, I ended my day yesterday, and I got so many things going through my head with all this stuff and the struggles we've been going through. But I talked to Pastor Flip Benham about 5 o'clock. I'm sending him a Jesus is my Savior, Trump is my President hat. He wanted to buy it. I said, you ain't buying it, brother. I'm sending it to you for free. He was hooting and hollering. A little bit after I hung up the phone with him, a Mexican girl come walking up. It was almost dark. The other building over there, got the Trump flags out there. I sold $200 worth of hats and flags yesterday on Election Day. They're still buying them.
Wait till today, brother. Wait, they'll all be wearing them today, huh?
If I got left today, I'll be sold out.
Throw your prices up, man. So they'll all want them today. Gino, quickly, we're going to lose you here, Gino.
This Mexican girl come up. It was dark. And she bought a flag, or she got a hat. I said, how old are you? She said, 26 years old. I said, do you have a job? Yeah. I work at Walmart. She bought it and took off walking. She walks. She lives in town, walks to work at Walmart. And I thought, you know, I've been struggling for 3.5 years to keep these doors open, this car lot. Oh, we just got a reprieve. I'm going to get Pastor Bill back in the church in the garage here soon when they boot his butt out of there. Things are going to turn around. So here we go.
Amen. We have to act like it is, right? Hey, folks, hit your knees and thank God for his mercy. Because we do not deserve the reprieve we got. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, what are we going to do with it?
Amen.
What a day. What a day. See you tomorrow.